But I do want to read just a few scriptures this morning and make a couple of comments or a few comments. I never know where I'm going to end up sometimes. But I want to read from the second chapter of Matthew this morning. I'll just start there. And if you have your Bibles, I'll give you a minute to get there. Amen. I'd like you to kind of follow along with me here. You know, Jesus was an amazing person. And when God sent him to us as a child, I'm sure that he didn't, just like any other child, know what at that point what his life would bring forth, especially as an infant child like that. I'm sure as he began to mature and get older and grew up through the years and become an adult, he probably began to realize more and more as every day approached what his life would consist of and what was going to be required of him, amen, and the price that he would pay. But I think there's some amazing things about him. One is that Jesus is still today the most talked about person in the entire world. I mean, that's a fact. And he never traveled over 300 miles ever from where he lived. And yet today, there's not anybody, if you speak that name, that don't have an opinion or know who he is or have something to say about Jesus, some of it negative. And many times, at least to us as the believers, it's very positive. We know he's the Redeemer of the world and took our sins away that we could have eternal life. The other thing that I think is amazing about him is that it's been said that if they was to take every book that's ever been written on Jesus, that every library could not hold the books that's been written about him. The libraries aren't full of the books because many of them have not been sent there, haven't been taken there, but they said every library in the world could not hold the books that's been written about Jesus. We know that he was well-educated beyond his years, especially whenever it come to spiritual things, and that they sat around in the temple and was amazed at the things he would speak and would say as a child. And so I always think about, you know, when he sent us Jesus as just a child and then to be the Savior of the world, he sent such an amazing person to us that he's still being talked about today. Amen. And so many people today still put their life in his hands. I mean, we literally live our lives, if you're a Christian or you should, for him and about him. Amen. So I want to read to you now out of the second chapter there just a few verses and make a couple of comments. First verse, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born of the Jews? For we have seen his star. You know what? Jesus was the first star, amen, of humanity ever born. We've seen his star. He is a star, church. He's still my star today. He was the wise men's star of that day that they followed, amen, in the east, and come to worship him. I think about those men, what made them wise. Listen, right from the beginning, church, first of all, they understood their purpose, didn't they? They understood the reason that they was going to see him. It was all about worship. That was first and foremost in their mind. They wanted to get to him, amen? They wanted to see him, but their whole purpose, listen, for wanting to do that, to seek him out like that, was because they wanted to worship him. I think about us today. Could we say that's our real desire? Do we come to church really because we have such a desire? Do we come seeking him out? Think about that today. Do we really come because we just want to worship him? Or do we come for so many other reasons sometimes? Amen. Religious reasons that don't really matter too much. Our real purpose ought to be we ought to come to worship him. Amen. And to just to know him better. It said, and when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And I think about, you know, there's people today that just hearing the name of Jesus become troubled. Amen. I talk to them a lot of times. And they're good people many times. Some of them are friendly people. Until you mention something about Jesus and they become very troubled inside. They don't like that. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want you making reference to that sometimes. Amen. But he became troubled. Also, the Bible said, when he heard about Jesus, this king that was coming to the earth, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes, or the religious people together of that day, He demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. I talked about that a little bit last Sunday. You know what? We need to become people that we go to God's word. We don't need a sign all the time. Sometimes we just need a word, church. Amen. We need a word that gives us direction for our lives. Amen. A word, especially a word from God, can change everything. And he said, you know what? It's written in the book about him. And he said, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the prince of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had heard privately, called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently. And that's what they did, isn't it? I thought about that. You know, I think sometimes if we would slow down as even as believers and Christians and take time to search diligently for him. The Bible said if we'd do that, we'd find him. Amen. He's not lost. Amen. He's near us, church. In fact, he's inside us today if we're a believer. But you know what? He does ask that we search for him, that we look for him, that we desire him, that we come to worship him, as I said in the beginning. Or search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again. Now we know as we read the rest of this, his intentions weren't good, were they? He had wrong intentions for wanting to seek and to find Jesus. Amen. I think today, you know what? Sometimes people can do that today. They have wrong intentions, wrong reasons why they seek him out or search for him or want to know him or know about him. And yet, the wise men, they had the right reasons for going, which was worship. And in verse 9, it said, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. Look, and what they did, church, and fell down and worshiped him. They fell down and worshiped him. You know, I think so many times too, I think there's very few times maybe that we really understand what real worship even is sometimes. There was a humbling here, wasn't there, in these men. Amen. They actually knelt before him, fell down before him. It meant so much to them just to be in his presence. Amen. They fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, all of us, if you're a Christian today, you've got treasures in you. You know what? If you're not a Christian today, God's placed purpose in your life. There's a reason today that God give you life and you have life today. He's put a purpose on the inside of you that he desires for you to live out and to know. But I love this because it said they opened their treasures. It's like a treasure. It's something that people ought to desire. When they look at our lives, church, when they come to seek me and you, to talk to us or anything like that, you know what? There's a treasure on the inside of us that they ought to want to find. Amen. They should desire that. He said they presented unto him gifts, golds, frankincense, and myrrh. And I think about, you know what, isn't it amazing how right from the beginning too, when they came to hunt him, you know what? They knew that it was the right thing to be a giver. I love that because the scripture said it's more blessed for us to give than to receive. It's not talking just about finances. We know that, church. And I don't want to harp on that at all. But you know what? Whether it's about finances or not, there's something all of us can give, and especially at Christmas time, but year-round, isn't there? We should reach down in the treasure chest that God's placed on the inside of us, the very life that he's given us, and have something that we can give to somebody else to make their day a little easier, a little better, a little happier. Amen. A little more joyous. So they opened their treasures, and being warned of God in a dream what they should not, that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. That's because we know Herod's intentions were wrong. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee, look, bring thee a word. So Jesus said, you know what? You take him there and you remain there until a word comes to you. Again, you know what? Sometimes, church, I just remind you, we just need a word from God. We need to quit sometimes sitting and waiting, saying, you know what, if God just show me, if he'd just tell me this, if he'd do something miraculous in the sky, I know it's God. No, sometimes we need to just move on a word, be willing to move and do what God has asked us to do. For Herod will seek the young child, he tells us, to destroy him. Said, and when he arose, he took the young child, his mother by night, departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. Listen, I'm telling you this this last week. I don't know if any of you did, but I seen on the news the children in Libya, and all the children that have been killed, along with 500,000 people. And it ripped my heart out. I thought about my own kids. They're not even little kids anymore. I think about our kids at church. Listen, parent, you know what? Today, if we live in America, you're blessed. If you have children today, we're blessed. I got 12 grandbabies I love. And I know many of you do too. You know what? It's a blessing from God, the Bible tells us, to have our children. Thank God for them every day. Amen. We never know from day to day when our own children. Amen. There's people that was with us just a year ago, some of them, children. It's not with us anymore. So we never know. We need to be thankful all the time for our children. And in the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken, amen, by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. And I'm going to stop there till next week, because I don't want to get into any part of my message except to say this. I think about there where it talks about Rachel weeping. I kid you not, I can remember many, many times as a kid, and when I would go home and my mother and my dad would be praying, but I can remember my mother sometimes crying and weeping to the top of her voice for her children. Amen. It stuck with me. I've never forgotten that. I thank God. Listen, mothers and dads that are here this morning, you know what? Trust me, your kids will never have more respect, will never remember you for more than they will if you know Jesus, and they hear you praying for them, that God would use you and to save them, amen, and to make sure that they walk in his footsteps. It's just something that I never forget about. When I think about my mother, those are the things, Wayman, I think about. I think she was a praying lady. She was somebody that loved her children. She was concerned enough, you know what, she'd hit her knees. I'm talking every night my mother would pray like that. I'm telling you, to the top of her lungs. And I've never, never forgotten that, Dennis. How much my mother loved us kids. And it's because she loved us enough to care enough to teach us about Jesus. Amen. If you come back next Sunday, and I hope you will, I'll preach a message. Trust me, I got it ready. I was going to preach it this morning, but it would take well past the time probably for me to have finished it. And don't let that scare you off next week. We'll get started with it earlier next week. But and we'll talk about that, because I think about that. What if things had been different on that Christmas night, that first Christmas? What if it would have just been different? Three wise women. Come on, give the ladies some credit. It'd been different. Probably been some good things. Amen. That would have been different than us three wise men, even, although that was a good thing too. But so we'll talk about some of that stuff, and we'll talk about some of the things next week that Christmas is really all about. Amen. It's not about, I've always wanted to write a book. I'll just share it with you. Seriously, I've told my wife different times. But I feel like the Lord laid it. You know what? All we really need for Christmas is more presents, not E-N-T-S, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. We just need more presents. We need more of God's presence in our lives, in our kids' lives. And I wanted to write it about my family growing up and the kind of Christmases we had. But what made him special was because in our lives, you know what? His presence was always there. My mother made sure that he was present at Christmas time. And we were taught those things. So come back next week. Thank you, parents, for bringing your kids. I don't know, is there still hot chocolate and all that in the back? Is there going to be that for the kids? I don't know. And for everybody, or is it? Okay. There's hot chocolate and cookies and stuff in the back if you want to stay in fellowship. And we'll have a good time back there. Stand with me this morning. Amen. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for every child, every parent that's here today. Most of all, I thank you for the child that you sent to us. I thank you that he paid the price for the sins of the world, that he's able to take away our sin and give us eternal life. I'm thankful that he makes all of our relationships special and better when we know him. Thank you that he's concerned about our every care and our every need in this life. And thankful that whenever we allow him into our life, somehow he makes our lives better. Thank you that he's always working for our good, the scripture said. I pray that you would bless us in the time of fellowship in the back. Thank you for all those that have participated. Thank you for those that have worked, made the cookies, hot chocolate, and everything back in the back. We give you praise always for your grace and your mercy to us in Christ's name. Amen. Stay and enjoy the fellowship in the back.
Thank you for listening to our message today. If you enjoyed this message, please let a friend know. If you'd like to contact our pastor, please call us at 765-332-2376. For more information about our church, you may visit our website at chicagocornerchurch.org. Church service is on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. You are always welcome to visit us in person.